The nonfiction book In the Pines by Grace Elizabeth Hale begins with a story worthy of the most dramatic novel. Hale, who is white and is now a history professor, grew up in the Atlanta suburbs, but in the summers she would visit her grandparents who lived in a poor rural county in Mississippi. She adored her grandfather, a retired county sheriff, and spent many happy hours with him, fishing for catfish, berry picking, and horseback riding. When Hale was a college student, her mother told her about something heroic her grandfather did in the 1940s when he was sheriff. It seems her grandfather arrested a black man who was accused of rape by a white woman. As was common in the South, a crowd of white men gathered at the county jail, demanding that the sheriff turn the black prisoner over to them for a lynching. Hale's grandfather refused to do so, bravely standing up to the mob, even though it might cost him his job at the next election. Unfortunately, Hale's mother went on, some of the sheriff's underlings waited until he wasn't there and took the black man out to the woods where he tried to escape being lynched and was shot to death. Years later, after Hale's grandfather had died, Hale went to Mississippi to visit her grandmother. While there, she reviewed the archives of the local newspaper and found a very different account of what had happened to that black man and of the role her grandfather played. But neither her mother's story nor the newspaper account felt like it was the truth, and Hale began to apply her meticulous historian skills to dig deeper. I won't spoil the book by telling you what she found out, but I can say that In the Pines is quite unusual in that the author leaves no stone unturned, even if it reflects badly on her own family. While uncovering the truth, Hale also tells the history of a poor section of the South, how it has evolved over the years, and how Black people there managed to create community despite a racist and often violent power structure. She also points out that whether to participate in the system's worst excesses was a choice for white people, and that not all of them did so. Reading In the Pines, I thought about how many of us tell flattering stories about ourselves or family members, and how we stood up to injustice even while others around us did not. Stories that also might not hold up to examination by an objective historian. As Hale and her readers look back at racist Mississippi and wonder, how could otherwise decent people go along with the atrocities being committed around them? I think about us today. Like Hale, will future generations look back at injustices we tolerate or participate in? Like the killing of 30,000 people in Gaza with U.S. military supplies, and the displacement and starving of nearly 2 million more, and wonder, back in 2024, what could Americans who were paying for that kind of genocide possibly have been thinking?